Chapter 59. Pitt placed Teresa in the back seat of the Range Rover as Giordino shoved Tatiana in, then climbed in beside Teresa. Wofford took to the front passenger seat as Gunn turned the heater up high, quickly roasting the interior. Giordino stripped off Teresa's shoes and outer clothing as his own shivering finally abated. The warm interior revived them all, and Teresa soon surprised everyone by sitting up and helping bandage Giordino's leg. "Do we have you to thank for shaking up Borgin's abode?" Pitt asked of Gunn while he stood leaning on the driver's open window. "Dr. von Wachter, actually. His seismic device is for real and very user-friendly. I took a gamble and pressed the button, and the next thing you know, instant tremor. Without a moment to spare, I might add." "Nice shake, Rudy," Giordino grunted from the back seat. "But we could probably have done without the ice water bath." "I can't really take responsibility for the bonus elements of fire and flood," Gunn replied with feigned humility. Pitt turned toward the laboratory and noticed for the first time a billow of smoke and flames pouring out the second-story windows. Somewhere in the building, a broken gas line had ignited, sending a fireball through the structure. A disheveled band of scientists were desperately pulling out equipment, research materials, and personal belongings before the whole building went up in flames. Rid of her chill by the car's warm interior, Tatiana suddenly regained her feistiness. "Get out," she hissed suddenly. "This is my brother's car."
"I thought it a nice choice as well," Gunn replied. "Remind me to thank him for leaving the keys in the ignition."
Gunn opened the door and started to climb out of the driver's seat.
"You want to drive?" he asked Pitt.
"I'll climb in back with the Wildcat."
"No," Pitt said, gazing toward the residence. "I want Borgin."
"Go ahead," Tatiana cursed, "so he can kill you dead."
Giordino had enough. With a quick jab, he rocked Tatiana's jaw. The screeching died as she melted onto the seat unconscious.
"I've been wanting to do that for some time," he said somewhat apologetically. He then turned to Pitt. "You'll need backup."
"Not one with a bad wheel," he replied, nodding toward Giordino's bandaged leg.
"No, you'd better support Rudy in getting everyone out of here in case there's more trouble. I just want to make sure that our host hasn't disappeared."
"You can't last much longer in that icy water," Gunn said, noting a shiver from Pitt.
"At least take my coat," he offered, slipping off his heavy jacket. "Not that you should cover up that fancy costume."
He grinned at the soggy orange Dell Pitt was wearing. Pitt stripped off the waterlogged outfit and gratefully zipped up Gunn's dry jacket in its place.
"Thanks, Rudy. Try to get off the grounds before the whole place slides off the mountain. If I don't find you within an hour, then hightail it to Ulaanbaatar without me."
"We'll be waiting."
Gunn jumped back into the Range Rover and jammed it into drive, sloshing toward the compound entrance. The original gate and a 20-foot section of adjoining wall had been toppled by the floodwaters, littering the grounds with chunks of concrete and debris. Pitt watched as Gunn guided the rover to the large gap in the wall, then bounced the four-wheel drive vehicle over the debris until its taillights vanished outside the compound grounds. Wading toward the dark and flooded residence, Pitt suddenly felt alone and very cold, as he wondered what Borgin might have in store for him.